Good morning, church. Can you hear me clearly? Good to see you all here this morning. Yes, we don't want two microphones. We don't want it recorded twice at the same time. Thank you very much, Lynn. It's good to have support in this church, isn't it? Let's just pray before we look at this passage together. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. It is precious to us. And we pray that as we talk about it, as we think about it, and what it means to us today, that you would open our eyes to something fresh, something new, something that perhaps we've not seen before, which will move us into greater service and adoration of you. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the Sunday in Advent, when we start to think about Jesus coming to earth, being born through Mary nearly 2,000 years ago, or approximately 2,000 years ago. And we heard that wonderful reading of Mary's song, how blessed she was to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ. God himself was going to be born miraculously into the world that he had created. And this always amazes me and astounds me, that he would want to come into something he's created to show us how to live and how to be. God stepping into our history has changed everything. Nothing will ever be the same again. Nothing is ever the same again since Jesus came. There's a wonderful carol. It's a more modern one. Well, I say more modern, 1980. Ish, they're getting old now, written by Graham Kendrick, a great hymn writer. And it's got these words in the chorus. But the first verse says this: so many centuries, this is talking about the Old Testament and waiting for the Messiah, so many centuries of watching and waiting. But when the moment came, well, nobody saw. Traders and travellers hurried by, and life went on just like before, just like before. But nothing will ever be the same again. This night has changed everything. Nothing will ever be the same again since the night he, that's Jesus, since the night Jesus came. The man in our story that we've been following, one of them anyway, is Paul. He realized this because he had an amazing sight of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw Jesus. His life changed. It was it was turned up the right way. And he began to be a real Christian man who wanted everybody to know this good news, that the Messiah had come. He changed Paul. Turned him right the way around, from going that way to that way, completely. And he wanted everybody to know. And what a man he must have been. I've often wondered if I met him, whether I would get on with him. He really was a fiery character, I would imagine. But he was a great God. Nothing was ever the same again in his life. Let me ask you some questions. Don't call about this. Who told you about Jesus? Who told you? Have you met him? I had a lovely free cup of coffee with Ayub the other day. He's in the audience here in the congregation. Thank you. Good morning. He said I can give this little story. I've got to give him a chocolate afterwards for it, but that's okay. I said to him, how did you first hear? Ayub, without telling you his whole story, he can tell you it much better than me. Because of it. He came from Iraq, and he was living in Leeds. Probably, I didn't ask him this, probably unable to know much English at all. And there was a on his door, I think there was the second time there was a knock on his door. And there were two people there on the door. And they had a welcome pack. Welcome to the area. And they had an interpreter that spoke a language which Ayub could understand. And they told him about Jesus and about the church that they were running. And you know what? Ayub actually went to that church. And you know what? He went to an Alpha course. And you know what? He found out who Jesus was. And he's been baptized. And you know what? God sent him down here. Ayub had never heard the name of Jesus before. Someone told him who Jesus was. And it's so important. And that's perhaps a big idea of today is, despite opposition and misunderstandings, and there's so much of that around, the gospel of Jesus Christ flourishes. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this world who are in a church, whatever time of day it is today, worshipping, loving and respecting who Jesus really is and knowing him as their saviour. It's amazing because we're going back 2,000 years to a couple of men, Paul and Barnabas, trying to tell people about Jesus, this baby that was born all those years ago. So Paul was on, as we now call it, his first missionary journey. He didn't know that at the time. I said that last week. But it was, as we've come to understand, his first missionary journey. He was going around the area. He wanted to tell people about this man, Jesus, and who he was. He wanted to say that God has changed me and he can change you in the same way. And there was, as we've already found out in the series, lots of opposition all around. So let's just have a look where he was. Last week, he was up there in Iconium. This week, he's travelled to Iconium. And then later on, he went to Lystra. And then he went to Derbe afterwards. So this is where he is. This is all now Turkey. All right, modern day Turkey. So last week he was here. Today he's here. And then he goes to Lystra. And right at the end of our reading, it says he went on to Derbe. How you pronounce that word? I don't know, but that's right. Anyway, that's where he was going. He was determined to go and speak to people. Now, when he was in Antioch, he left. And if you just go back to the earlier chapter, just the last couple of verses of the chapter before, he left, and it says in verse 49 of the chapter before, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Take that in. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Why? Because Paul had been there and God was with him. It says the Jewish leaders stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So they shook the dust off their feet and moved on to Iconium. And it says there, and this wonderful words in verse 50 and 52 of the previous chapter that Martin finished with last week, filled with joy. Well, they'd just been kicked out of the city. They were running away. Filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why were they filled with joy? Because they'd seen so many people come to know Jesus. Even though there was opposition and they'd been kicked out. Isn't that amazing? So our first point today is this. The gospel is effective and it changes lives. And I suspect that most of you here could say, yes, that is absolutely true. It's affected my life. I am different to how I would have been had I not met Jesus. So Paul and Barnabas arrive at Iconium. Where do they go first? Well, they always go first. To the synagogue. To the synagogue. Paul was greatly at home in the synagogue. He was a Jew. And he was brought up in the synagogue. He loved the synagogue. But that's where he the people would be. So in he goes to the synagogue, same pattern as usual. And there the Jews had already gathered and there they were listening to him. And what happened? Verse 1 of chapter 14, they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks or Gentiles or other people than Jews believed. They spoke so effectively that other Jews and Gentiles believed. That's what happened when they told them about Jesus. The good news is that Jesus, the Messiah, the Saviour, came. And that if we trust in him and his sacrifice for our sins, he brings us joy and everlasting life. This is the gospel, the good news that Paul was proclaiming. And there he is again. There he is. Many people believed. But it wasn't as easy as that because, again, they had a fight on their hands. And I just go back to that thought before. They came with joy, filled with the Holy Spirit. So they weren't going to be put off. A little bit of trouble. Well, I say a little bit of trouble. It gets worse later, as you read just now. They carried on. They carried on boldly, not quietly in the corner, just in person. And come here, I want to tell you about Jesus. Just come with me a minute. They spoke boldly because they knew who Jesus was. And even though they had trouble, they continued to preach the gospel. They continued to preach the gospel, verse 6. It's amazing, isn't it, what God can do with people. Question for you again. Don't answer, just in your own mind. Do you ever feel like giving up? Is living the Christian life sometimes a bit tough and hard and people don't seem to want to know what you're talking about? So do you just, okay, I won't bother then if you're not interested. What would Paul say to that? He would say, oh no, you carry on. You know what Churchill famously once said? Wars are not won by evacuations. Yeah. We keep going. And we see a great number of Jews and Gentiles and Greeks here, but believed despite the opposition. God was at work mightily in that town of Iconium. And God is at work mightily today. Believe it or not, he is. All around the world, there's many, many stories of many people coming to know Jesus today. And they spoke effectively because they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder how often we're filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit when we are speaking to people about him. It's a real challenge for me, as well as you, I'm sure. Second point, faith brings healing. So they had to leave that place because there were threats and they found out that something was going to happen to Paul if he wasn't careful, and they went to Lystra. Just about 18 miles away from Iconium. And you know what? There's no mention of the synagogue that they always go to. So I scratched my head, read a commentary or two. Why was there no synagogue there? Well, I tell you, we don't know for sure there wasn't, but it's unlikely there was, because history says, and I'll quote this, that Lystra was an insignificant village which had been made into a Roman colony in 6 BC. So it was a little Roman colony. Romans were not Jews. Why bother with the synagogue? So Paul just went on, did he? Didn't bother because there was no synagogue? No, of course not. Of course he didn't just go on. He had another opportunity of speaking to the people there. And he was speaking powerfully again. And in that village, there was a lame man. Now, the interesting thing here, I thought, was this. It may be an insignificant village in history, but that insignificant village heard the gospel. Paul didn't believe that, and nor does God, that there is anybody in this world who is insignificant. Nobody. Wherever you come from, whatever your culture, whatever your upbringing, the Bible tells us that we're all made in God's image and we are not insignificant. We are people God loves and who Jesus came and died for. So Paul is preaching in the crowd, there's this lame man. You can follow this through if you've got your Bibles open. Save me, keep reading it. But there was a lame man and he'd been lame from birth. He'd always been unable to walk. He hadn't had an accident. or anything like that. It says he was lame from birth. And he was listening intently at Paul. He was looking at Paul. And he was listening. He was taking every word in. It tells you that there in the verses that we've read. And Paul looked at him, probably in the eye. It doesn't say this, but looked at him straight in the eye. And he said he could see this man understood who Jesus was. He understood the gospel. And he had faith that he could be healed just by looking at him. And what did Paul say? He said, stand up on your feet. And what did he do? He jumped up. Read the words yourself. He jumped up. A miracle which was confirming that the message that Paul was preaching was from God. God had sort of rubber stamped the message. This is my word. And miracles followed. And this is an amazing miracle. This creates, as we've read, an immediate response. Oh dear, when we put our faith in God and we show it to the world, there is always going to be those that don't want to know. And here there is opposition again. When we trust God, we must keep our mouths open and still talk about him, whatever circumstances we're in. We've got to try and do that. We've got to read his word, we've got to pray to him and seek opportunities of talking to other people. And this miracle confirmed that what Paul was doing here was right. And it created a response immediately. And what happened there? Let's just see what happened. Third point. Worship is for mighty, almighty God alone. These people were Greeks. Now, I'm not an expert in Greek mythology. I really wanted to know much about it. But they had all these gods with a small g all over the place. God of this, the god of that, the god of the other. You know, gods, and they worshipped these gods. And they were sort of tyrant sort of gods up in the heavens somewhere or other. Some of them were good and some of them were bad, and it seemed that you had to not upset the gods. This was their whole culture. This was their philosophy. So when they saw men, Paul and Barnabas, do a miracle like this, wow, the gods have come down. They've come down to earth and they're doing mighty things amongst us. Hermes, this is what I did find out, Hermes was the messenger god, the one apparently in Greek mythology that brought the messages to earth. So that was Paul. They thought, this is Hermes. He's come. He's talking to us. Zeus was the king of the gods, and they thought that Barnabas was the king of the gods. And do you notice there's a phrase there? They started talking in their own tongue. Lynn will forgive me for this example. Wales, all right, and you're sitting there talking English, and they just want to say something about you. As it happens everywhere, not just Wales. They'll talk in their own language just for a few minutes, and people do this quite rightly, and you don't know what they're saying. And here, these local people spoke in the Laodicean language, I think that's what it calls it. And Paul didn't really, and Barnabas didn't really get it to start with, until they started worshipping them. And then the penny dropped. The penny dropped. They're treating us as gods. And Paul and Barnabas had an immediate reaction, didn't they, to that. They said, we are only human, like you. We are not God. We are not to be worshipped. We are just like you. There is only one true and living God. This is the God you should worship. He is the one that made the heavens and the earth. He is the one that's brought the rain and the sun. As you've experienced in your lives, God has been good to you. It's the one true living God that has brought this down. It's not your gods, these make-believe gods. And it was very difficult for them to get this message across because they were so fixed on this. They were so fixed on this. Question again. I like asking questions. Just think about them in your mind. What do you do, believer in Jesus, if someone praises you or gives you glory? We are tempted to wallow in it a bit. Oh, yeah, thanks. Great. Oh, yeah. We are tempted to do that. Because, let's be honest, we like a little bit of praise. Well, maybe it's just me. No one's nodding. But anyway, yeah, we do like a bit of praise. We like the pat on the back. Well done. We like that. But in Christian circumstances, we must reflect that glory from us to God. It's only in him and through him we have all that we are. It's only in him that we are able to be as we are. It's not me. It's not you. It's him. And should we reflect that? And this is what Paul was trying to do, and Barnabas. They were trying to reflect what had happened, this miracle. The people that had come to know Jesus reflect the glory to God. And this is what we should do, because worship is for Almighty God alone. And that's what we do on a Sunday morning here, as well as other times in our week. One of the purposes for meeting on a Sunday morning here is to become before Almighty God, the creator and sustaining of everything we know and see around us, and worship him. And worship him. And give him our love, our praise, our thankfulness. That is part of what we do here each week. Now we find in verse 19 that the Jews, I haven't got the map behind me now, but the Jews, remember, they came from Iconium and they came from Antioch, and they infiltrated what was going on in this insignificant little village that they probably wouldn't have bothered to go to for any other reason, but they heard Paul was doing things, or that God was doing things in that village, and they came and stirred up trouble. They didn't like it. It threatened them. It threatened their very existence in some ways, because they thought they knew everything. They had the law. They were perfect. They were good people. And they came and they stirred up trouble. They stirred it up so much so that poor Paul was stoned. Now just think about that, stoned. I've never seen a stoning, and I really would not want to see or witness anything like that. And they took him outside the village. They dragged his body outside the village, and they left him as dead. Verse 19 and on and 20. Was that the end? It wasn't. Miraculously, Paul got up and moved to another town. I mean, did he go home with his tail between his legs, as we say? I've had enough, Lord. I just can't do this anymore. I'm nearly dead. No. He had such belief and trust and faith in Jesus Christ as his Saviour. He was going to carry on. And just, let's read verse 20. I'll just read it to you now as you look at it. Verse 20 of the passage we read. It says this. But after the disciples had gathered around him, around Paul, he got up and went back into the city. The next day he and Barnabas left for Derby. I think that's amazing. It's almost resurrection. Almost. There's a powerful thought there, isn't there? Paul left for dead. And next week we'll be carrying on this story of what's going on. Absolutely amazing. God was certainly with Paul in all that he was doing. So remember our main theme. The gospel of Jesus Christ saves lives despite opposition and misunderstandings. It flourishes. Wherever the gospel is preached, there will be those that accept Jesus as Saviour. There will be. You remember the good seed? Some fell on good ground. Much didn't, but some fell on good ground. So how do we apply this to us 2021, all those years later? Well, Christians must do what they should, and despite opposition, keep going. Now, let's be honest, in this country, as a Christian, it's not too tough. But you ask some of people who've come from other countries what happens to Christian people there. They can be persecuted, they can be put in prison, they can be left, quote, for dead. But they keep going. And there's many books been written by some famous people. And if you're really interested, talk to him. I know he's got one or two under his pillow at home. And I've got one or two. Amazing stories of Christians in prison. What did John Bunyan write in prison? Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read it, read it. That wouldn't have happened had he not been put in prison. So we have to realize that we are quite protected here so far, but many Christians face opposition all over the place. And we've got these lovely verses, because our job is to introduce people to Jesus, and then let Jesus, let God save them, deal with them, talk to them, and open their eyes and their hearts. And there's lovely verses here. My dear brothers and sisters, this is to us Christians here, those who believe. My dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And the last line, do everything in love. And that's so important. It's not a matter of punching people with the Bible. It's a matter of loving the people like God loves them and telling them the good news of Jesus. Second point. We will be misunderstood, but God will honour his word. I have heard people come up to me. People have said to me, do you know, Brian, in something in the 1990, whatever it was, you said such and such and such, you know, and it really made me think. I thought, I don't remember that. I honestly, truthfully, don't remember ever saying that. And this happens to every Christian. If you say something in a godly way to someone, you get no response at all. You may get a blank face and you think they've forgotten. But God uses these little seeds all the time. Never, never, ever give up, because God will honour his word when you speak it. He always will. He always will. This was a different type of church. I say amen, and you'd say amen in reverse. But it's true, isn't it? He will honour. It's his job. It's his word. He's Almighty God, not us. He will honour his word. What about this? We, in our home group, were studying 2 Timothy just recently, and this is what Paul, this same man, nearing death now, chained up in prison, wrote to Timothy. I give you this charge, he says, dear Timothy. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And here is the line again. We must remember how to do this. With great patience and careful instruction. That's our job. As Christians, in the way that God has, in the places that God has put us, with our families, with our friends, with our work colleagues, wherever it is, that's our job. Not to stand up and sort of preach in that way, but to preach through our lives and show them what a difference it makes. And last point. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Has the good news of Jesus reached your heart so much so that you're full of joy and in the Holy Spirit? Because that's how Paul was, despite the terrible things that happened to him. There's a whole list of them later on in the Bible of what he went through. He carried on. And the amazing thing about this is this. Not the gods, not not any of the other Greek gods came down. The true living God came down to save us. And as we come to Christmas time, and as we think about who Jesus really is, not was, who Jesus really is, it was Almighty God that came down to the earth, this earth, and made such a difference. Nothing has ever been the same again. And when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 15, my life changed, and I've not been the same again. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, please, please come and ask one of us about him. We want to tell you. If you do, rejoice with joy and ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life so that you can go out there and tell other people about him. Let's just pray.